As you know, we have been studying the book of Revelation. This day, we are up to chapter 17 in the book of Revelation. So, all of you go there. Amen. Let's go to chapter 17. And I want you to know that chapter 17 is about Babylon. And about, let me tell you something, the fall of Babylon. I just want you to go, let's go to verses, go to your Bible, and let's go to verses, because I want to verify something here. Let me find my, I had it here, but of course the phone does what it wants to do. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14, and let's look at verse 8. And here's what verse 8 says in the New Living Translation. Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, Babylon is fallen. The great city is fallen because she made all the nations drink of all the nations of the world, drink the wine of her passionate immorality. Now let's go to Revelation 16:19. Are you there? Read it. Pastor, read it.
Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
Amen, amen. So this chapter 17 is about Babylon, and it's going to give you more details. Okay, so that's where we're going. So let's go to Revelation 17:1. I'm really out of breath. So somebody read it, please.
Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters.
And read verse 2.
With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
Amen, amen. So we want to know what this means, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. So it's speaking of, this is the angel that has been speaking to John. And he says to him, I'm going to show you, right? I'm going to show you what the judgment is of this harlot, this prostitute. Amen? Amen? So who is this harlot? Who is this prostitute? Who is this? This is a symbol, and it's a symbol of whom? Okay, now, if you look in the Old Testament, the image of a prostitute, okay, was a symbolic image of wicked cities.
Yes.
Right? Amen. Yes. And you can see in Nahum, you can take this down, 3:4, it speaks about Nineveh as a harlot. In Isaiah 23:16-17, it speaks of Tyre as a harlot. In Ezekiel 16:15, it speaks of Jerusalem as a harlot. These are all cities. So that gives you the knowledge that when they're speaking of, when the Bible speaks of harlot, it's speaking of a city. Okay? It's a symbol, right? Now, the verse says that she sits on many waters, okay? And if we go to verse 15 in this same chapter, it'll tell you what that means. And I'll just read it. It says, the waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multiples of nations and languages. Okay? It tells you what the waters mean. The Bible interprets itself. Amen? And so, therefore, this is a city that has ruled over many peoples, nations, multiple languages, and peoples on the earth. This city has a universal and international impact. So whatever this city is, it's a city that God is going to bring to an end at the end times, because this city has, or this harlot has committed fornication. What is fornication? Idolatry. Has committed idolatry with the nations. What is idolatry to God? Idolatry is when we move away from God and we start worshiping other things other than God. Amen? So somebody read verse 3. Please. Dorcas, do you have it?
Yes. So he carried me away.
I'm sorry.
The angel of the hyena is to protect its prey.
What is that?
The angel of the hyena is destroyed.
Shall I continue?
Yes, Dorcas, continue.
So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and seven horns, and ten horns.
Amen. Can you picture that? So here is the Spirit of God carries him out to the wilderness, and he sees a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, right, with blasphemous names, and it has seven heads and ten horns.
Ugh.
That's some picture. But that picture should bring you in remembrance of other scriptures that we have studied in the past. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
Amen. So here is, if you read Revelation 13, the same beast is described. Okay? You can put that down. Revelation 13 and 13:1, the beast is full of blasphemous names. Amen? Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Blasphemous names. Blasphemy, you know, against God. That's what blasphemy is. When you curse and say horrible things against God, that's blasphemy. When you take his name in vain, that's blasphemy. And this beast is full of all this. Amen? Amen? Now, the beast has seven heads and ten horns. Again, in Revelation 13, you're going to see that. And we studied that. And if you look in the book of Daniel, there's another beast in the book of Daniel. Amen? Daniel 7, chapter 7, and you'll find this beast. And then, this is like a combination of the beast that we saw in Daniel 7. So with Daniel 7 and this verse are referring to the same beast. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Do you remember that we studied about the beast, the Antichrist? We studied about the ten crowns,
mm-hmm.
Amen? The seven horns,
mm-hmm.
Amen? So this beast is a picture of the Antichrist. And I'll get further into that. So for right now, the beast symbolizes the Antichrist and his dictatorship. We studied that the Antichrist will be the dictator of the entire world in the end times. Amen?
Amen.
So she's riding on the beast. Whoever this woman, this scarlet woman is, she's riding on the beast. Right? So what does that indicate? It indicates that on one hand, she is supported by the political power of the beast. So whoever this woman is, she's supported by the beast, who is the Antichrist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But on the other hand, she's riding on top of the beast. So in some way, she also has a dominant role with the beast. So whoever this is, or whatever this is, it is aligned with the beast. Amen?
Uh-huh.
So let's keep on and we will get further into, okay? Now, let's read verse 4. So let me stop. We know that the beast represents the Antichrist. We know this woman represents a city that is aligned with the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Amen? But we'll get to that. Let's go to verse 4. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. Verse 4. Mark, you have it?
The woman was arrayed. In purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery.
We'll get to that one more. Let's just stay at verse 4, and then you can read the next one.
Okay.
So she's arrayed in purple and scarlet. She's adorned with jewels. She has a gold cup in her hand. And the gold cup is full of the abominations of her sexual immorality.
Yes.
Amen. So what are purple and scarlet? What do those colors normally symbolize?
Royalty.
Royalty.
What?
Royalty.
Royalty.
Who said royalty?
Elsie.
I did. Elsie did. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Purple and scarlet are colors of royalty.
Yes.
Amen. They're colors. They're costly fabrics. Purple, scarlet, and we find that in the history of the church. If you look at the church and you look at the and it's the history of it, you find these colors. These are ecclesiastical colors. Purple,
yes.
Gold, scarlet. All right? So
yes.
We're heading to what all this means. Amen? And,
amen.
You know, the thing, this is from... His name is Barnhouse, and this is what this person says. This scholar says, we find in the course of church history that one of the deadliest marks of ecclesiastical corruption is the lust for temporal power. If you study history and the history of the church, you will find that the kings were always fighting with the church, because at that time the church wanted to be the power. And at that time it was the Pope. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you history. The Pope and the kings were always fighting for power, and it got to the point when the king was made king.
Coronated.
Yes. When the coronation took place, it was the Pope who blessed the king. So they were always at political odds. because the church wanted to rule this, but the king wanted to rule that. So they were always at odds, amen? And purple and scarlet was the colors of rulers, whether religious or political. That was their colors. Amen? So again,
amen.
So this woman who represents, like I said, a city, right, is a city from which great immorality has come from. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Okay, Mark, you can read 5.
Yes. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth.
And read 6.
I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement.
Amen. So it tells you, and on her forehead, right, was written a name of mystery. Okay, so here's what that means. This is not a literal city named Babylon. It's not a city named Babylon. Amen. But the name Babylon has been used, like I said before, in history by God. The name Babylon has always represented wicked cities. Wicked, okay? So that's why the name Babylon the Great. Amen. So it's not a literal Babylon, but a city where all this spiritual immorality is taking place, has taken place. Amen?
Amen.
So here's what it appears to be. It appears to be a religious system that what? Because it tells you, look, it says, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. We're the saints. The believers are the saints. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ through the ages are the saints. So whoever this is has persecuted the saints all through history. You get that? All through history?
Yes.
This is what this is pointing to. Amen. Hallelujah. Jack, you have 7? Read 7.
He's not.
So mute.
Is he mute?
You're mute. Your mic is mute. Okay. Your mic is mute.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has 7 heads and 10 horns."
Amen. Amen. So the angel again is speaking. He's going to tell you who this is. Amen. And let me say, let me just get to where I am. All right. So the angel is going to tell us who the beast is. Okay. Let me. Okay. This I forgot. I didn't mention this, but I did mention it. Let's go on. Let's read 1 more so I can get I got this in context. So that's 7. Let's read 8 along with that.
The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and yet will be to come up out of the abyss and go to its destruction. The inhabitations of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world will be astonished when they see the beast, because it once was, and now is not, and yet to come.
Okay, thank you, Jack. Let's go, let's move forward. So here we got, okay? So she's telling you who the beast is. Let me get the right one. Yes. All right, so here it is. The beast that you saw, now listen to this. The beast that you saw was and is not.
Is not.
And is about to rise from the bottomless pit. Okay? So, do you, I'm going to digress a little bit. Do you remember in Daniel chapter 2 that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream?
Yes.
Okay. And you remember the dream was a big golden, a big image with a head of gold? Okay, so I'm not going to, so you all know that. It's in Daniel chapter 2, so we're not going to go through the whole dream. But the dream, well, I'll say this much. The dream was a head of gold, made of pure gold. The chest was of silver. The belly and the thighs were of bronze. The legs were of iron, and the feet were of clay mixed with iron, right? That was the image. And Daniel interpreted the image, amen? And Daniel interpreted that it meant four kingdoms were going to rise up. The last kingdom was what? Rome. You guys remember? The last kingdom was Rome?
Yes.
In history, these were four major empires. There were others, right? There was, yes, Babylon. There was Medo-Persia. There was Greece. And there was Rome, right? Okay. Now. You know that in that image, in Daniel chapter 2, this tall image is standing, right? It's this big, tall image. And then what happens? A rock comes and smashes it in the feet. You can read that in Daniel chapter 2. In King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that big statue, a big rock, a rock comes, smashes it into, breaks it apart, and then the rock becomes a big mountain. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So the rock was, you know, you don't see any human hands throwing the rock. You just see the rock coming at it, and it smashes the toes and all that. Okay? Now, many scholars believe that the 10 toes is also a representation of this last kingdom that's going to come. And the last kingdom, he says it was and it isn't now, okay? The kingdom was, it's not now, but it's coming again, right?
Yes.
Okay. Scholars believe that this is going to be the revived Roman Empire because the bottom of the statue represents Rome. And Rome was, and Rome is not anymore. And Rome, they believe that the revived Roman Empire is coming. Just bear with me a second. I think I got wiped out a little while ago, and I'm not able to keep my train of thoughts here, but let me get my thoughts in order here.
Amen.
Let me
Lord,
in Jesus' name. Yes, okay. Lord. So, many scholars believe that these 10 toes represent an alliance, a political alliance between the Antichrist and an apostate church. The 10 toes. Clay mingled with iron. Amen.
Amen.
Then, this is what they believe. This. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm going to say an aside. I'm going to give you an aside. This is where the phrase feet of clay comes from. You know, when they say people have feet of clay, it comes from these 10 toes that are made of clay and of rock, but that they get destroyed by this rock. Amen. Anyway, so let me go on to verse 9. Mark, read verse 9, and we're gonna have to pull this together.
Okay. Verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits.
Okay. Let's stop there. Seven mountains on which the woman is what? The woman is a city, right? And it says that she sits on seven mountains. Now, many scholars believe that this is the Roman Catholic Church. Many scholars believe that because it says seven mountains, that it means Rome, okay? But if you look up the word that is used here where they read, the word says seven mountains, okay? Seven mountains. The seven heads are seven mountains. Rome actually sits on seven hills, not on seven mountains.
Yes.
So some scholars believe this is not Rome, okay? And so you have that difference of ideology, of definition, okay? Now, what other scholars believe because it says mountains, that it actually represents future kingdoms or governments.
That's what we thought, yeah.
If you look in Jeremiah 51:25, it tells you that Babylon is called a destroying mountain. And if you look where in Daniel 2:35, where we read about the statue, it also uses the word mountain, the same word mountain that is used in this revelation verse 9, the same word mountain, the same Greek word is used in Daniel 2:35 when it says the rock became a mountain. So that's why you have the difference. That's one of the reasons why you have the difference of opinion, okay? So right now, what the angel is telling you, this is a city. This is a city, amen? This calls for a mind. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So the woman we believe represents a religious entity. She sits on seven mountains, which governments, right? On seven governments. You remember the crown. The crown, what does the crown have? Seven horns? Okay, so about the word mountains. Somebody read verse 10. Let me see if I can.
There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time.
Yeah.
And verse 11.
The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition.
Amen. Okay. So if we say that the seven heads are governments on which the woman sits, right? Governments?
Right? Yes. Yes.
So now he's telling you they are seven kings. Seven kings. So the woman has authority
over
these seven kings, okay?
Yes.
And she sits on the beast. So there's an alliance happening between the system, between this religious system and the beast. Okay.
Right.
So it says they are seven kings, five of whom have fallen. I knew this was going to be complicated, but let's go with it. Five of whom have fallen. Okay. We spoke. Okay. Five have fallen. One is, the other is has not yet come. This is, okay. So five have fallen. If you study the empires that came before Rome, Egypt was really the first. Then Assyria, then Babylon, then the Medo-Persia, and then Greece. That's one, two, three, four, five. Those are five empires.
Wow.
That came before whom? Before what? Before Rome. Right?
Rome.
Yeah, before Rome. Five empires that came before Rome. Amen? So then it says one is. So remember, the angel is speaking to John. He's saying five empires have come. One is. What was the empire that was present during John's time?
Rome.
Okay. Then he says, the other has not yet come, right? The other hasn't come yet. And so that refers to the one world empire that's going to come with the revival of the Roman Empire. One is. And one is yet to come. That is the one that is yet to come, the revival. And let me tell you, if you have studied what's going on in Europe, and if you have studied the European Union, and if you look into the European Union,
yes,
you will see a lot of the symbolism of the revived Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the symbolism is there. Check it out. Check out their flag, their constitution. Their name, go forth, and you will see that the revived Roman Empire, in my opinion, is already here.
Yes, that's right.
Come to its fullness. It's already here, okay? And then it says, the seventh, which is the revived Roman Empire, let me read it. One is, the scripture says, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, when he does come, he must remain only for a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is the eighth, but it belongs to the seventh and goes into destruction. Is that confusing enough? Okay.
Yes.
This seventh Roman Empire, right? This is gonna be those seven kingdoms. I have to keep going back and forth. You remember the beast in Daniel chapter 7, I believe it was, the beast that come out of the sea, the final beast has 10 horns, seven horns, and then three horns, and one little horn comes up and devours the other three.
Yeah.
And that little horn, once we have studied that, is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist devours these three and becomes head over the seven. So the Antichrist is head over these seven kingdoms. And this is what it says. The eighth belongs to the seventh. The seventh is the revived Roman Empire, which is ruling alongside with this Antichrist. He eventually overtakes them, and he becomes the world dictator.
It's in process now.
Yeah. Oh.
Abraham,
do you understand that? Yeah.
Yes.
Did you understand that?
Yes. They united the Jews, the Arabs, and the Catholics in one place to worship in Rome. That's a temple they made in Rome for the Jews, the Muslims, and the Catholics to worship together. So,
and
how
what's fornication? What is fornication to God?
That's fornication.
Oh,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Idolatry. You're not worshiping.
It's all working right now.
Exactly. Oh, there's a lot that's going on right now. If you dig into it, you will find they. Now, I'm not talking about a people. We're talking about systems. We're talking about systems. Because I believe that whatever faith you're in, I mean, Christian faith, the majority of people are really faithful. Yeah. But systems are not.
Right.
Okay? So he says, as for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven. So the beast, the Antichrist, is part of the seven, but then he takes that over. He takes those kingdoms over and he becomes the sole ruler. Isn't that what we have studied in the past, in Daniel chapter 7, that the Antichrist will rise and he will rule the entire world? Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So that's the explanation of verse 10. Amen. And 11. And then we get a further explanation. Denise, read verse 12.
Then 10 horns, which you saw, are 10 kings,
mm-hmm,
who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour and as kings with the beast.
Uh-huh.
Confusing.
Okay. One mark with a package.
Read verse 13.
These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast.
Okay. So you see, we could put this with verse 11 together. So it says, and the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings, right? Who have not yet received royal power, but they receive authority as kings for 1 hour. Now, 1 hour, biblical scholars believe it's not 1 hour. It just means a short period of time.
Okay.
Okay. So let's leave that. Now, the 10 kings, as I've told you, it's going to be a confederacy. But the Antichrist is going to subdue 3 of them. That's why you see the 7 come out in the previous verse. Amen? So 10 horns that you see are 10 kings. So he's telling you right away, 10 kings represent either 10 nations or a confederacy of nations. They haven't received power. It's not happened yet. But they're going to receive the power for a short time with the Antichrist. That's why we saw in the previous one that they have 7 that are ruling, and then the Antichrist takes over. He subdues them. Okay. So this is going to be what is believed, that this is going to be a confederacy of 10. It could be nations, it could be 10 geographical locations, but it's a confederacy of 10, and it's going to be at the beginning of the tribulation. And because it will be the revived Roman Empire, it's not going to take place here in America. America was not part of the Roman Empire. Amen?
Amen.
And let me tell you, you want to know, it's going to involve the nations of Europe, Western Europe, which was once occupied by Rome. But what other places were occupied by Rome? North Africa.
Africa.
North Africa.
Yes.
Asia, up to the Euphrates River, up to that point. And part of Britain, that was the Roman Empire during the time of Christ. And by 117 AD, that was it. That was the fullness of the Roman Empire, which lasted till 476 AD. So, this is going to be a confederacy of nations from that area, not from China, not from South America, not from North America. Amen? Which is going to rule the world, which are going to rule the world. Amen?
Amen.
And again, like we said before, this alliance will only endure for a short time when the Antichrist takes over entirely, rules independently. Amen?
Amen.
But doesn't the Antichrist bring these nations together?
He probably does, because they're going to rule together. But eventually, he's going to be the dictator. It appears that at some point, they're going to rule together. Like a confederacy. They're ruling together. They all have a say. But then it says that only for a short period of time. Then he's going to rule alone. They will have no say in what the Antichrist does.
Right.
That would happen.
Makes
Amen?
Sense.
What happened to the woman?
She's a city.
I'm going to tell you in a minute. Let's read, Bert. I'll tell you. We're going to get there. Remember that this woman is the religious component. Probably headed by the false prophet. This is going to be the religious component, because remember, the false prophet tells the people, worship the Antichrist, worship. So he has say, so he has to be over a religious system, okay?
Yes, right.
All right, let's read, let's get somebody, who's got verse 14?
I got it.
Who's
like, Lisa? Yes. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
Amen.
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 Okay. So they will make war with the Lamb. We studied that. They will make war with the Lamb. Amen. And then it says, those with him are chosen and faithful. Those with the Lamb.
Right.
So coming, what battle is this that the saints are coming with the Lamb? Because the Antichrist is going to make war, but the Lord is coming with the saints. What'd you say, Marcy?
Armageddon.
Yeah. This is the war of Armageddon. Amen. So that's what that's referring to, amen? Because the Antichrist will make war with the Lamb, amen?
Amen.
With all the nations. Verse 15.
Then the angel said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages.
Wow.
Right? And this is what we said before, right?
Yes.
So, and I said, this tells you that this city, because remember, we said it's a city, this city, wicked cities were called harlots. So this city is has worldwide influence. Amen? Worldwide influence. And it has, you know, it sits on many waters. Again, multitude of nations. It has influence over multitude of nations. So this tells us that this will more than likely will be the one world religion. This is what this city represents, the head of a one world religion. My opinion is this. The saints are going to be gone.
Yes.
Protestants and Catholics and Christians of other denominations, the Protestant denominations, are going to be left that are not truly born again. Right? If you're not truly born again, you are not going up in the rapture.
Right.
So not only will unbelievers be left, but believers who thought they were believers, but Jesus said, I never knew you. So they're not really believers, right? So I think that this will come together, Protestant, Catholics, they will come together with the false prophet to form the one world religion. Okay? Whether they're Catholic or, and I do think, is my opinion and the opinion of many other scholars, that the papacy will be the head of this one world religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, we're not talking about people, we're talking about systems, right?
Yes.
Because in every religion, there are people that truly love God. That's why the Lord says, come out of her, my children. That's in the word, where he says, come out of her, my children. Okay. So we know who this is, right? It's a one world religion. Amen. And then somebody read verse 16.
Beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the
prostitute. Okay, we have Jack and Mark reading.
No, I'm not reading. I'm not reading.
No? Well, I hear. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jack. My culpa.
The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire.
Ooh.
Ah. Ooh. What's that all about? Yeah.
Well, why would they do that if she was part of them?
Apparently, what this seems to imply, right, is that this world religion is gaining too much power. Getting too much power, it says. And the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast. So these nations and the beast, and these nations that the beast actually controls, they will hate the one world religion, and they will make her desolate and naked. They will kill, they will subdue. So now there is no other ruling, no religious factor in the tribulation. The religious factor is done away with. Okay?
Yes. Mm.
And so now it's totally Antichrist. Amen? And look at this. It says, for God has put in their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. Amen. So God, so it's kind of, you know, this is kind of sometimes like out of order. You know, you get something and then it comes back to the same thing. So this is what this is saying, that God has put in the heart of that confederacy to put their power, give their power to the beast, to the Antichrist. God has done that so that the Antichrist is the only one ruling, and that's it. And you saw that the woman you saw is the great city. Right? We said that the woman, the harlot, represented the city that has yes. dominion over the kings of the earth. Okay? Now, what city has had dominion through the ages over the kings of the earth?
Vatican.
Vatican City. My opinion, Vatican City. If I were to go into... And I'm not trying to bash people. If you go into church history, you're going to find a number of things. Check out church history. You're going to find that in the Catholic Church, Mary is the Queen of Heaven. They made her the Queen of Heaven. Mary was a mortal like you and me.
Right.
They also say that Mary ascended into heaven like Jesus. Look it up. Look up the doctrine. That like yes. Jesus ascended into heaven. And that you can pray to Mary so Jesus can do things for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord told us when that veil was rent in the temple, when Jesus was crucified, and that veil in the temple was torn, the word says that we no longer have to go through man or woman, that we can go directly to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Then they also spoke of Immaculate Conception of Mary.
Yes.
Mary was born without sin, without original sin. You got to look up the doctrines. Many of the people in the Catholic Church don't really know the doctrines that, and these doctrines have become, you know who put these doctrines in effect? Different popes. Different popes. And you know that one of the doctrines is that the Pope is infallible. That whatever the Pope says,
that's what goes. Yeah.
The Pope is not God.
That's right.
Only one God.
That's how kings rule. They were infallible, whatever they said.
Exactly. And that's why you had the battle between the king and the papacy. Study church history. I studied church history years ago, and you see that battle between the kings and the popes, the kings and the popes. I forget which one it was. I don't mean, anyway. So chapter 17 is about a city in the future that's going to be, well, a city that in the future is going to be judged by God because of its immorality, because it caused many nations to commit immorality with the city. Amen. You know, just kissing the ring of the Pope. What is that?
Yeah.
Look up the bullets and the things that the popes have said through the ages. I think it was, I'm not sure, maybe Pope Leo the X. I'm not sure if it was him. You have to find out. That decided that Mary, and this is what was said. That in order to bring men and women more into the church, we had to find an image, a person that women could worship, and that person was Mary.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we're not saying anything about people that are in churches. Just pray and just, you know, share whatever God leads you to share, if you can. And pray for those. But this is what it's about. It's about that city that God is going to bring to an end. If you study, if you go back to Columbus time and Queen Isabella, who were persecuted? The Jews were persecuted because they did not convert to Catholicism. They were killed. Many of them had to convert. They converted, but they secretly continued to worship as Jews. If you study church history, even from the beginning of Christ, who was persecuted? The saints were persecuted. The Christians were persecuted. And you go along and you study Catholic Church history, those Protestants were persecuted because they pulled away from the church. They were martyred. They were killed. Amen. And Catholics who because remember, the universal church was a Catholic church. That was the first church. And it was at the time of Martin Luther that he pulled away when he started reading the book of Romans, and he saw that salvation was by grace, that you didn't have to earn it. Amen. And the Catholic Church was in the process of building the Sistine Chapel. That's the one that's in Vatican City, Dorcas?
Yes.
They were building, that's how old that is, to the 1500s. They were building this big church, and they were given what's called indulgences. And an indulgence was, you give me enough money, and you're forgiven.
Yeah, yep.
So if you study, a lot of abominations have been done by this church. And not only this church, the Protestant church has done things. You know, preachers up there that shouldn't be up, and not preaching salvation through Christ, and just having, look at the Protestant church today. Worship is entertainment.
Yes.
Worship is entertainment.
Yes.
Many churches don't even have an altar call today.
That's right.
And everything is on a schedule. Hurry up, because our next service is going to start. We are coming into the times of the apostate church. Apostate, the church falling away from God. You have to see it. That's what the word says, that before the coming of Christ, the church, there will be a falling away by the church. Yeah. Anyway, I leave you there. God bless you. Thank you for bearing with me. I got a little bit winded in the beginning of the service, so bear with me. Thank you. God bless you, Pastor. I'm turning this over to you.